Hello, my name is Emily Hines, and I attend Houston City Council meetings and take notes, and now I am sharing those notes with you. Today's notes are from the council meeting on May 15th, 2024. First up was the mayor's report. Mayor Whitmire expressed condolences on the passing of Reverend Bill Lawson. Next, a group of students from the High School for Law and Justice's Teen Court were present in the chamber. The mayor and several council members praised the students, their teachers, and the program. But the big deal today was about the independent panel investigating HPD's suspended for lack of personnel code, colloquially known as the SL code. They were here today to make a preliminary report. HPD used this SL code to mark some cases as inactive due to lack of personnel. It's a whole thing. You should go look it up. HPD Chief Finner resigned last week over it. Panel Chair Ellen Cohen introduced the preliminary report. The final version will include a history of the SL code, a progress report, and recommendations. She did say that HPD has been transparent and forthcoming. Panel member Christina Nowak, who is also Deputy Inspector General of the Office of Policing Reform and Accountability, also emphasized the preliminariness of this report. The investigation is prioritizing victim-centered crimes in the Special Victims Division, beginning with sexual assault. The panel plans to sample 10% of the more than 268,000 total incident reports. They met with HPD to go over the processes for complaints and incident reports and investigations. HPD also sends them weekly reports at minimum. They said it's usually more. HPD's lack of technical resources is causing problems. The panel observed inconsistent methods of case management between the divisions with very little checks and balances. That's a quote. HPD's record management system, we're going to call it RMS from here on out, has too many variations for how the same crime can be coded. For instance, sexual assault can be referred to as sex assault, aggravated sexual assault, aggravated sex assault, ag sex assault, and so on. There were a lot more. The panel believes this confusing code system directly contributed to the mistitling, which is all done manually, and potential mishandling of various incident reports. They had some preliminary recommendations for HPD as a whole. Number one, written directives for policy changes that affect the entire department. Number two, attendance protocols for the staff meetings also need to include meeting minutes for all decision points for those meetings. Number three, general standard operating procedures for that RMS and for case management. Comprehensive documentation of procedures and protocols governing the use of the RMS and case handling. Reasonable and workable timelines for case assignment. I forgot numbers. I think we're on number six. Supervisory review and approval before an investigation is suspended or made inactive. So that directly addresses that SL code. And number seven, simplify RMS offense titles, ensuring that they are consistent with the Texas Penal Code. So just one title for aggravated sexual assault. They also had some preliminary recommendations for HPD's Special Victims Divisions. Number one, create a process to review the email inboxes where incident reports are routed. Number two, collaborate with the Houston Forensic Science Center to develop SOPs for lab results and testing. Number three, upload the lab results to the RMS in a timely manner. Number four, 24-hour availability of a Special Victims Division investigator. Number five, improve coordination with victim services outside of HPD. Number six, updated victim notification protocols. Number seven, a mandatory 55-hour training administered by the Houston Area Women's Center. Number seven, victim and trauma-centered training at the patrol level in the academy, plus a yearly refresher for all officers. Number eight, I think, collaboration with victim service organizations and human trafficking agencies to locate and help the victims and survivors. And number nine, give victims and survivors more control over the scheduling of their own forensic interviews. Just as an aside, as they were listing these out, I couldn't believe they were not already doing this. All right, moving on. Some council members had some comments. Councilmember Castix Tatum said, quote, everyone that makes a report to HPD definitely deserves a response, and there will be some requirement to rebuild the trust, end quote, starting with accountability for the systems and people that allowed this to happen in the first place. Mayor Whitmire said that every recommendation made by the panel today will require more money for HPD. especially relevant right now because it's budget season. He said it is mind-boggling that no one in all of HPD at any level brought up the use of this code until 2021. Councilmember Kamen said HPD is getting a new RMS installed in 2025, which should help with some of those technical problems we mentioned earlier. She asked some clarifying questions regarding the timeline, concerned about, quote, who knew what and who also didn't know what, end quote. She appreciates the panel's focus on crimes with victims and survivors rather than property crimes, although they will get to that. And she asked if the city is allocating additional support for organizations taking on these new cases, like the Houston Area Women's Center. Whitmire offered a bumbling response that made me think he just didn't understand the question. Councilmember Peck suggested the panel's report go to the Public Safety and Homeland Security Committee meeting for review. Councilmember Pollard asked if the entire department knew about the SL code. NOAC said no, and that some executive command staff might not even have known about it. Pollard asked why it came to light when it did. NOAC vaguely referenced a crime that occurred in the fall of last year with no explanation. Pollard announced he had no further questions, which got some laughs because we are not in a courtroom right now, but sure, go off, sir. Councilmember Plummer defended Chief Finner, who recently resigned. She said he was only promoted as chief in 2021 and shouldn't be blamed for the SL code problems. Plummer asked NOAC what the deal is with the Internal Affairs Division investigation, and NOAC explained that it is confidential and they will likely produce their own report, but we might not ever see it. I don't know what's going to be up with that. Plummer warned of budgetary implications from the panel's recommendations and advocated for standardized specimen collection. Councilmember Thomas admitted that she was at first skeptical of the panel, but she said this report is good, informed, and fair. She also championed former Chief Finner, saying he would be eager to adopt these changes if he was still in place. Councilmember Carter lamented funding cuts in general to domestic violence programs and advocated for partnerships with the county, the state, and the federal government. Councilmember Pollard did indeed have further questions. He asked if HPD chiefs know each other's standard operations, like across divisions and departments, and NOAC said yes and no. Pollard used this argument to defend former Chief Finner, saying it was totally plausible for him not to be aware of the SL code in use in a different department than the one he happened to come up in. Cohen reminded counsel that the panel's job is to review the reviewers. She declined to comment on Chief Finner's knowledge or lack thereof regarding the SL code. Now we can move on to some selected agenda items. Item 9 approved $41,000 for school zone poles. Item 13 approved $163,000 for a company called Cowboy Concealments, which made me laugh, to provide concealment boxes used to hide surveillance equipment for HPD. Item 14 approved $89,000 for gym equipment at two HPD command stations. Item 17 approved $149,000 for crime tracer software for HPD. It's a national crime database. Item 18 approved $76,000 for three all-terrain vehicles for HPD. Item 18 set a budget public hearing date for Wednesday, May 29th at 9 a.m. There's also several budget workshops going on in the weeks leading up to that. I recommend tuning into those if you can, but they are during the day on weekdays. Councilmembers Plummer and Ramirez tagged item 20, which would have confirmed the city's support of a tax abatement, which, if you don't know, is a tax incentive, for Kittle Properties to develop Cordova Apartments, an affordable multifamily complex in Gulfgate. Councilmember Plummer criticized Kittle and cited complaints both locally and nationally. Councilmembers Ramirez and Kamen tagged item 21, which would have amended the code regulating tax abatements for green stormwater infrastructure. There was general discussion on the value of these tax abatements and general agreement that the city's program could be better, evidenced by lack of engagement with it. Item 23 authorized the acceptance of a $1.3 million grant from the state for dental services for pregnant mothers, children, and adolescents. Item 30 approved $97,000 to extend the contract with the company that conducts language testing for emergency services, which is the fire department, the police department, and the 911 call center. Not only does the city offer services in languages other than English, but employees get paid more if they're bilingual, so this company tests and retests for proficiency. Councilmembers Peck and Pollard supported in theory, but complained heavily about the expense. Councilmembers Castix, Tatum, Carter, Thomas, Ramirez, and Mayor Whitmire all defended the item and language services in general. Item 32 approved an additional $977,000 for a mental health crisis call diversion program for HPD. The program diverts non-imminent mental health-related calls that do not have a medical necessity. They are diverted to the crisis call diversion phone counselors at the Harris Center. Councilmember Plummer enthusiastically supported this item and advocated for more money for the mobile crisis outreach teams, or MCOTs, and crisis intervention response teams, or CERTs. These were paid for in the past with ARPA funding and are apparently potentially on the chopping block during this budget season. Councilmembers Kamen and Ramirez both remarked on the importance of these programs that save lives and money. Mayor Whitmire advocated for collaboration with the county for funding. I'm only pointing this out because tensions seem high with the county in general. Item 40 was tagged by Councilmembers Castillo, Kamen, Plummer, and Carter. It would have approved the sale of a portion of the White Oak Greenway Trail to TxDOT for the North Houston Highway Improvement Plan. Councilmembers cited much constituent concern. Councilmember Plummer suggested the area should officially be designated park, which it basically is, and that would give it protection. Councilmember Kamen expressed confidence that TxDOT will honor constituent wishes to keep green space, but wants it in writing. Finally, we'll go over the councilmember pop-off. Many councilmembers shared condolences for Reverend Lawson and lamented the HISD situation, often calling for direct action, but not really being specific about what that means. Councilmember Castix Tatum complained about loitering and crime at gas stations. Councilmember Pollard also complained about loitering and crime at gas stations. He mentioned an agenda item he put forth, maybe coming soon, I don't know, that will support HISD staff. Pollard responded to Mayor Whitmire's statement that he inherited a myth when it comes to the budget. Pollard pointed out the very large fund balance left over from the previous administration, which can be used as a stopgap. He complained that council will be expected to vote on a budget that includes the firefighter deal, the details of which they still have not seen. Councilmember Alcorn shared news about the budget workshops, which started today. Councilmember Carter mentioned an HPD memorial service last Friday at their Union Hall. She said, quote, "I'm going to give a shout out to the Papa's family for bringing the food, serving all the families, donating the food. While they're not at our airports, they're certainly at our Union Hall supporting our HPD," end quote. Councilmember Davis rambled about an in-person meeting he had with HISD Superintendent Mike Miles without talking about what actually happened at the meeting or offering any solutions. Councilmember Kamen criticized the mayor's decision to halt the construction on Shepherd and Durham. She cited a lot of feedback from constituents and businesses who support the project. The mayor was condescending in his response, at one point saying, quote, "You've represented that area 4 years, I've represented it 50 years," end quote. And that's it. That was the meeting. I want to thank our Patreon supporters, and especially I want to thank Marlene, our most recent supporter. That link is patreon.com/EmilyTakesNotes. If anyone listening to this podcast would like to join that very cool team of very cool people that helped make this project happen, you too could get a shout out just like this. This podcast has music by Joe Wozni. It was recorded by Joe Wozni, and it's produced by Connor Clifton. That's it for this week. I am Emily Hines, and I thank you for listening.